This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club. Our program today featured four speakers and the subject, Civilian Police Oversight, A Bridge Too Far. Our speakers included three Chicago aldermen and the head of the FOP in Chicago. Alderman Ariel Rabois, the alderman of the 30th Ward, is the chairman of the Public Safety Committee for the City Council. Kevin Graham is the president of Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 7, and they're beginning or engaged in contract negotiations with the City of Chicago. Alderman Harry Osterman, the alderman of the 48th Ward in Chicago. He's been alderman since 2011. Prior to that, he was a state representative for 11 years. And then the chairman of the Black Caucus in the City of Council, Alderman Roderick Sawyer, filled out the panel discussion. Civilian oversight. All the candidates said they're for it to various degrees. They all support first responders. They all said it's important to hear the community, hear the police, and their different points of view. They all agree that there's much anger and discontent out there. They must find a way to close the gap. The community, the police, the mayor's office, and other entities must connect with each other. The aldermen answered many questions directed at them, as well as the president of the FOP about police accountability, the cost of policing, police training, and they all agreed finally that there should be no rush to judgment if and when a civilian oversight board is to become a reality. They all said we need full public hearings. Two have been held so far, and there are several more on the docket, and they want to hear what people have to say and not just shouting and not just assessing blame. As they all concluded, the police are asked to solve the problems that society cannot deal with. Makes a very tough job and decision for the City of Chicago and civilian oversight.
And Kevin Graham, I asked you to be the leadoff batter. So if you would, 3 minutes.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank all the hardworking policemen who are out there keeping our businesses safe, the people safe in the City of Chicago, and their homes. They do an outstanding job. I can't tell you how proud I am to be the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. Today's discussion is about oversight on the police department, civilian oversight. I am not opposed, nor is the FOP opposed, to oversight in any agency. We think it's good. Civilian oversight is a problem, though. You need professionals to be looking into it, to knowing what they're looking for and how they're going to address problems and look at policies. If you were going in for a operation, if you've had a heart attack and you're going in for a bypass, I don't think you're going to call an electrician to perform that operation. You want somebody who is qualified, who has knowledge, who has studied the field, and can give you a good diagnosis as to what's going on. Hopefully a good outcome. Last Saturday, I attended a meeting in Gage Park where several people voiced their concerns about the police. There was a lot of anger there. And one of the things that I took out of that is that there needs to be better communication from what the police do to how it's transmitted to the public. When the police department was reduced by about 1,000 police officers, and by the way, we have hired 1,000 since 2016. Not where we need to be yet, but we're getting there. What had happened was that we had eroded the interaction between the public and the police. I was a foot officer in Uptown, and I got to tell you that was. I like being there. I like being there because these were people who needed the police, who appreciated the police, and many of them were homeless. Many of them just needed help from the government, and the police were the entire United States government to them. And so you helped them to get an ID. You helped them to fill out forms. That's the community interaction that you need to get back to because that helps build trust. Somehow the police have been portrayed as the villains in the last few years, and it is not my members' fault. The problems that have occurred in the police department, my members had no control over. We needed more funding. We did not need to be reduced in our manpower, and we needed the equipment and tools in which to get that done. And so I think that when you talk about civilian oversight, you have to remember we have COPA, which has made some very good improvements, including a new director, which I have high hopes for. We have a new head of the police board, who I've just met briefly, and I'm going to have a meeting with him this week. You're going to have some changes that are already in place. We have internal affairs. And let me tell you something about internal affairs in the Chicago Police Department. They are an outstanding group in terms of getting rid of bad policemen.
Thank you, Kevin. I hate to cut you off. Okay, Alderman Sawyer.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. After listening to Mr. Graham, I will say I don't disagree with the majority of what he stated. His first statement I echo wholeheartedly. I support and admire policemen and all our first responders. They're essential to us having a just society. I think that they're extremely important, and I want to do whatever we can do to make their jobs less stressful and to be as effective as they can to help us combat crime and improving our communities. I think where our small disconnect is I think that there is a path for community involvement with the police department. What I want to know, and I'm hoping after this forum and in future, that we can get together more often and talk about what that would look like. I'm a supporter, along myself and Harry Austin and several others, of one of the proposals that are before the city council. What I'm a little concerned about, and I expressed it to Kevin this morning, was that when we have these meetings around the city of Chicago, I have yet to see police interaction with these meetings. And I think it's extremely important that we hear the police's point of view when we have these types of forums. Right now, he's correct. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of angst. And there's still that disconnect between the community and the police department. We're trying to find a way to close that gap and eliminate that disconnect. You know, and who knows? Maybe my way is wrong. I don't know. What I do know is that we need to have more conversation about it. We need to connect more with each other and understand one another. I was able to take a class very quickly at Mr. Graham's suggestion, shoot, don't shoot class at the police officer. It did give me a tremendous insight on a policeman's determination and what they have to deal with on a controlled setting when they're out in the street. And after I did that, I wanted to make sure that we can talk more about how we can eliminate the disconnect. So I'm hoping that after this conversation and as we talk more and interact with you, that we'll continue the dialogue and we'll talk about what things separate us and what things could connect us.
Thank you, Alderman Sawyer. Alderman Raboyras.
Thank you, sir. I want to thank the entire city club for hosting this event today. We've been in several meetings, and the last one was a good, controlled meeting. I want to say I support FOP. We understand that there's a lot to be spoken about. There's a lot of stuff that we need to agree on. But I also want you to know that besides sitting as chairman of public safety, I also am a member of the Community Policing Advisory Panel. That superintendent actually organizes this panel for 2 years now. We've been sitting in several neighborhoods. We've gone before North Pullman, Rogers Park, East Garfield, and also in Spanish in the Hermosa community. There we've engaged police officers, which my colleague just mentioned that. We've been engaging police officers now for 2 years in these events. Based on input that we received, we also heard from the Department of Justice and the Grassroots Alliance for Police Accountability, who are here today, and I want to thank Mr. Gross for that. Our recommendations were made clearly that we need to create true partnership with our communities. We also need to work closely and commit to problem solving in every community, not just one community. A lot of folks are thinking that This is a law enforcement issue. It is not only a law enforcement issue. It involves the community. It involves faith-based organizations. It involves schools. And it involves the agencies in the city of Chicago, every single one of them. We're here today to talk about, hopefully, four ordinances that have been presented. I'm not ready to make a decision on either one of them. We need to hear from you, we need to hear from the community, and we need to hear from our colleagues that are here and the organizations. Shouting at each other is not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to hear some good conversation. I support all the ideas that have been forward. I commend everyone that's been doing this. But we need to hear the real, the substance of why we're here today. Putting more policy and putting more eyes on the police officers is not the answer. We don't need to have subpoena powers from our community organizations. We're willing to work. We are willing to hear from the community. Real issues, not just one matter, not that you want it or that, and that's all you're sold on. I turned in two similar models that are from the Seattle and LA models that are currently working. I'm not saying that is the one. I'm not married to one of the ordinances. It's a combination of what we need. We want police accountability. We want civilian oversight, but it has to be in the right manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Osterman. You're batting cleanup here, Harry.
Thank you. Not a baseball player, more of a 16-inch softball player, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here with all of you today. As a lifelong Chicagoan, public safety is my number one issue. I've got three kids that I want to raise and have them have the ability to go to every part of the city of Chicago. But true safety in Chicago is with a partnership with community and police. It's a trust between community and police, and not just in my community, but in every 77 community around the city of Chicago. And for too long, that trust is eroded. And that affects the safety that we see every single day when we see about shootings that occur, when we see about negative interactions with the police and residents of the community. So this is about how do we come together as a city to chart a path for the future. And civilian oversight is a critical part of that. I think it's important to take a step backwards to see how we a little bit got here today. This is not an issue that started 3 years ago. This is an issue that's been going on around our city for 40 or 50 years. But in the wake of the death of Laquan McDonald, there was a Department of Justice investigation and report. There was a Police Accountability Task Force report that clearly recommended a community oversight mechanism to bring the community together. For 2 years, community groups, with the full consent of the mayor, full consent of every of the aldermen, were out doing work listening in communities around the city of Chicago about what they wanted to see to begin to build trust and oversight. They came forth with a recommendation that Alderman Sawyer and I and almost 20 sponsors are sponsoring, which creates a civilian oversight commission with an elected body elected from every district, all 22 districts in the city of Chicago, that would create a mechanism to hire a 7-person commission of professionals. And I think it's important to say that if we want civilian community partnership, we can't say, well, you can't be a part of the process, or you can't have a seat at the table. And I look around this room, I see a lot of people that are not elected who are professionals who could sit on a commission like that, who could bring their years of experience to helping us as a city provide oversight. And this is something that we think it will work in partnership. This is also not something that has been created in a vacuum by its own. Other cities around our country have done this, and the proposal that we're sponsoring is most modeled after LA City, that has had this in place for decades, and that has helped bring the community and the police together, which is our ultimate goal, I believe, to have a system that Chicagoans from every corner of the city can trust, that will be positive with the police, where the police are part of the conversation, and I think that will add safety and accountability for our city and for the police department, that we can chart a new course to work more closely together. I think it's also important to say that we're not going to rush to judgment. There are four ordinances that are out there today. Chairman Raboya's hearings around the city. We've had two. We're going to have three more. But it's important that we have a full discussion about this and not have an ordinance that we try to rush over the finish line, but one that's inclusive and one that everyone, all the stakeholders, feel comfortable with. And that's something I am deeply committed to.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let's give them all a round of applause. Okay, if anybody has any questions, just hold them up. Members of our staff will pick them up. I see a few hands up, and we have some questions up here already. This is from City Club member Amy Kessum. Amy, are you with us today? Okay. Oh, thank you. And any one of you can volunteer to take on this question. How do you think that the actions of politicians like the Cook County State's Attorney, who have virtually no experience in a criminal courtroom, letting criminals off the hook time and time again, not holding them accountable for their criminal behavior, affects the morale of not only the rank and file of the CPD, but also what kind of message does that send to law-abiding citizens of Chicago? Alderman Raboya.
Let me start that out by saying I, as the chairman of public safety, have had some conversation with her staff. What I'm hoping to do is bring her in and to speak and maybe have some briefings with our colleagues in city council so that we can ask the appropriate questions and to see what makes the decision, what is she basing her decisions on folks that are being released at an early stage. And, you know, the fact is that we see folks going in and coming right out and creating the same crimes over and over again. I think there needs to be some discussion with our colleagues in terms of briefings so we can better understand what they are doing right now.
Thank you. Rod?
Very quickly, I'll state that it's not my knowledge that State Attorney Fox is letting violent criminals loose. It's my understanding there were more nonviolent, maybe drug offenses, things of that nature. But again, I would support hearing about more what goes on with the State Attorney's Office, just generally, because what I do believe is that we don't want violent offenders out on our streets before their time.
Kevin Graham.
Briefly. I think it's important that people are held accountable, whether they're police officers or they're criminals. We need to make sure that people understand that there is a price to pay for breaking the law, and we do need to hold these criminals accountable. And what's happening is there's a very low bond, if any bond amount, and so when they get in there, they're basically told, okay, well, it's just a revolving door. This is a hockey game. You've set your time in the penalty box, and now it's time to go. That's not the message we need to be sending out there.
Harry, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, just that I think there is a frustration that's felt not just by police but by communities when people that are arrested are put back out on the street the next day to commit another crime. But I think it's important if you look at Mrs. Fox's election, there's a lot of anger out there. There's a lot of frustration out there that I think led to her being elected. And I think that it's important that we listen to communities about how we can bridge that gap between the police and communities. I think that's a significant thing. Chairman Raboya has talked about the CAPS program. The CAPS program over the last decade is not, it's a shell of what it once was. And I think it's important that young people especially can get to know the police in positive interactions. And I think that's a significant thing that we have to do. But I think Chairman Raboya is bringing Ms. Fox to talk to us, I think would be a significant thing.
Okay, thank you. This question is from Madeline Hamlin. Madeline, where are you? Okay, back there. You know, we're very even-handed here. Madeline's not a member of the City Club, but I hope you're going to join. $50. By the way, it's tax deductible. Okay.
Here's her question. She's with BPI. I think that's Business for the Professional Interest. The city of Chicago has spent close to $18 million on police misconduct cases since 2004. How does FOP CPD plan to remedy this in the absence of civilian oversight? Kevin?
I'm very glad you asked that question. One of the city council meetings not too long ago, we did show up. We urged the city council not to pay off on one of the lawsuits because the people were guilty. They did not deserve, I believe it was $40 million, and we urged them not to. We had clear evidence that they did commit this. One of the problems which you're going to see is when people go back and try and retry cases, that witnesses are gone, people have died, now you're trying to recreate a case that took place 20 years ago. And to pay people off, for these, the city should be fighting these. Certainly my members want that, and certainly we will assist the city in trying to bring those cases forward. We have even talked at FOP about investigating some of these cases if we know they're coming up, to give the aldermen the evidence that they shouldn't be paying these off and that the law department should be fighting these.
Okay, Alderman Rebois, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, President Graham. One of the things that that offsets paying more each time is that years have gone by where police officers have been in the force for 10, 15, 20 years, and there's no training. The superintendent has made it clear that one of his priorities right now is to get more training involved. The use of force has now changed, and it's being trained as a use of force, new methods in the use of force. A lot of this, a lot of these lawsuits will go down, but it also needs continuous education. Cameras. Police officers are wearing cameras today. So while everybody is taping the police officer when he or she's on the scene, the officer has to do that. That alone is going to change the way of the lawsuits. But the training has a lot to do with it. More training, continuous training. Also, the crisis intervention training takes an effect. The officers will need to know when there's a problem with that person when they get to the scene. It's also helpful to make sure that the call taker is trained and understands when there is a crisis intervention problem, and they need to let the officers know. At that point, all the officers that are currently being trained will at least understand what they're up against as soon as they get to the scene.
Okay. Thank you very much. This question is from City Club member Lori Green. Lori, where are you?
Lori Glenn.
I'm sorry, Lori. Okay. It's really directed at Alderman Osterman and Alderman Rebois. You both stated today that you support the L.A. model. So where do they agree and differ? What parts of the L.A. model could translate to Chicago? Why not the model entirely, as it has been successful in L.A.? Certainly a city comparable in size and challenges. So who would like to?
I can Alderman? Start out. The objective here is that there are two ordinances that were introduced a while back, one 2 years ago. That was a CPAC ordinance, and the GAPO ordinance came shortly thereafter. I personally introduced two models, one Seattle version, one L.A. County model, because I think there needs to be some differences also. I don't know that we can have police accountability done by a group of untrained civilians. They need to be trained. They need to understand the law. Having a model like the L.A. County model, you're there as a support group. You're there to tell the community, to tell the police officer and the superintendent, we want to talk about this. And if they submit some reference information regarding an arrest, an abuse case, it has to go back to the superintendent. The superintendent has 30 days to come back in writing. you know, so we can go forward. But you have to understand that a complete takeover, at this point, you're adding more layers to the police department. I don't know that's going to work at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry.
It's a great question. I think at the core of it, it is independence. And I think that under L.A. County or Seattle, the Chairman Raboyes, those are mayoral appointments or city council appointments. And I think that having the mayor have sole discretion to appoint or city council, I think Chicagoans in every corner of the city are going to question, is that true independence? And trying to strike a balance where the mayor, as he should, the city council, as we should, have a role in oversight, I think is critical. But also, the key thing is we need to have civilians involved. We need to have the community buy-in. And if we just say that the mayor and the city council are going to appoint, I think outside of these walls around the city of Chicago, there's not going to be community buy-in for that. And I think that's the core difference. So I think that's where we see the difference. And I think hopefully through a lot of conversation and listening, we'll be able to come up with what that balance might be.
Thank you, Alderman Osterman. President Graham?
Yeah, I understand the community involvement. I think what's being overlooked here is that in every district in the city, we already have a district advisory board who volunteer their time at no cost to their to the taxpayers. That's important because they are already in place. They're already providing a service because they care about their community. And to put in another layer of oversight, I just don't believe you're spending tax dollars wisely. The aldermen are there. They're elected every 4 years. They're responsible to their constituents. And we have a place. We have something in place. What we do is need to improve on what we already have.
Okay. This question is from Eugene Guidis. This was submitted to us via the internet. His question is, in the past, both police and fire service were considered blue-collar professions that were gateways to the middle class. Would police oversight be easier and more effective if we moved from requiring 2 years of college to 4 years of college? A question, obviously, of education, training, experience. I see that Kevin Graham is ready to jump in.
I have no problem jumping into that question. One of our contract proposals we are seriously considering is to have a four-year degree. That's already been talked about. I believe it adds to the police department. I don't believe you need to you don't need to drop requirements. You need to raise those requirements. And I believe you need to find the very best people you have in your communities to represent you as police officers. So I think that the higher that you ask police officers to have a high level of education and you have a clear goal in mind as to what they want to do and provide to the city, I think that's important.
Thank you. Alderman Sawyer, looks like you'd like to chime in.
Yes, and it was an interesting question that just posed, but and I'm not necessarily opposed to it. My problem with that is we're already having problems with diversity on the police department, and I want to make sure that whatever proposal goes forth would mandate or make sure that diversity is important. I think that blacks and Latinos could accomplish that by submitting to the four-year requirement, and I think there are a lot that take the test that have those requirements and more. But I get calls personally from people that have these requirements and more and continues to get rejected from being police officers because of things like the psych eval. You know, and I think that's extremely subjective. And I think we need to look at the total hiring process of the police. I'm not necessarily opposed to that proposal, but I think we need to look at more a more well-rounded officer as opposed to just the degree requirement.
Alderman Raboyes?
I agree, but I don't think that we should change the education structure because we want our kids, our future police officers, to have 2 years of college, 60 hours. That's what we need. I think the problem is these kids are in shape. The problem, I think, it comes when either a background check or the psych test. And I think the psych test is the tough problem, tough hurdle for them. Some of these kids are obviously they're nervous. We want to see more brown and African Americans in the police department, without a doubt. It always makes an important gesture when you come to your neighborhood and you can relate to that person, because maybe, just maybe, you know a little bit about us. But the important thing is that the superintendent has now made it a mandate that they need to learn about cultural differences in the community, and that's important. Thank you.
Alderman Osterman, any thoughts on this issue?
I think the issue that we're dealing with about accountability also underlines us recruiting more people to become Chicago police officers. We want people in every corner of the city to aspire to become police officers. And I think in recent years we've struggled with getting folks to sign up and be a part of that department. I think if we can come together and you know, bridge the divide between community police, it's going to help us get more people, more diverse background folks to become part of the police, and it will chart us on a course. So I think the efforts that we're working on legislatively can also have a positive impact on our workforce in the future with the police department.
Okay. This question is addressed to each of you. It's actually a question that I thought of. And since this person didn't put their name down here, I'll take credit for it. If you were superintendent of the Chicago Police Department today, what would be your number one priority? Second part of that question, what do you think is the number one reason that some communities do not trust the police department? Who would like to get us started?
I'll start it.
Okay, Kevin, you're out there on the street.
I'll take the first question last. The first thing I would do in terms of getting the confidence back with the public is, first of all, we just talked about hiring. I want to make sure that people understand, and since 2016, 60% of who the police department has hired has been minorities. And what we need to do is make sure that the people understand that, understand what we're trying to do in the police department, make sure that we have funding, that the money is spent wisely. And I made the suggestion to the superintendent a year ago, and that is that Sunday mornings are generally slow in the police department. Why don't our officers stop into a church, a mosque, a synagogue? You know, and I realize some of that is on Friday nights. I get that. But stop in at various places of worship to let them know that they care about them. This is a place that where people care about the community, that they can see the police standing in the back, not there to be looking for anybody, but to be there as supporting in their house of worship. So that is one of the things I would do. If I was the superintendent, I guess I would get the contract with the FOP settled right away. Short of that, I would want to make sure that the officers know that that they are, that they're thought of well, and that the police department is looking out for them, because I think a lot of times the police officers don't feel that, particularly right now, that the city has their back. And with all these changes going on, they need to know that.
Okay, thank you. Alderman Sawyer.
Yes, and I think number one and two kind of go hand in hand. If I was, my first priority at the police is to restore that trust, because I guess that goes to the second question, and to make sure that we're serving and protecting the community. And that means more than just arresting someone. I mean, when I grew up, you know, we had officer friendlies. We had, you know, I was not afraid of the police like that. I knew my police officers in my beat as a child, because you saw them all the time. You know, I think beat integrity is something that I think that needs to be restored. I believe that we need to do more with restoring trust. So one of my other things, I would probably support the GAP ordinance, since I'm part of that anyway. So, but it's something that I would do to help restore trust between the community and the police. Because if we don't have police community trust, we can't solve crimes. We cannot walk to an individual and say, hey, what did you see? Well, we know people have seen what goes on, but they're afraid to talk to the police. They're afraid to talk to me if I was the police person. So I think that we need to do more towards restoring that trust between the community and the police. And I think if we did that, police can do more than just writing tickets, arresting people. They'll be more interactive. They'll be at community organizations and churches. They can spend time restoring the officer-friendly program again, and then just be around. I think police officers write tickets again, for example. Because if nothing else, that's police officers walking up and down the street all day, every day. That's just one thing that I think I can do as police superintendent.
Thank you. Alderman Rebarius.
I want to get back to the kids' involvement. The superintendent has set up a task force that deals with just that. We learned all this. We discussed all this for the past 2 years in the Community Policing Advisory Panel, of which I'm one of the – I sit on that task force. One of the things also that the superintendent has changed, that he has a revision task force on the use of force policy. When something happens, we want to go back and debrief and see where we go from this point on. Did it work? Do we need to change this? But I'm going to steal a line from my colleague over here. It says, if you don't trust this process that we're in right now and the four ordinances that we're trying to deal with, then chances are we won't trust the end result.
Harry, you don't mind that he's borrowed.
It's okay.
It's public domain. You all share.
You know, let me first start to say that Superintendent Johnson is doing an amazing job as superintendent. When we met with him about the GAP ordinance, you know, we wanted to make sure he understood that this isn't about trying to fire him. In L.A., there's a balance in this ordinance that if a situation arose, that could be the superintendent could be rude. But that's not our intention at all. And I think the press sometimes glommed onto that. I think the superintendent and the police do an amazing job every single day. I think one thing that needs to happen more is that CPD's got to articulate a plan for the entire city so that Chicagoans know how we're dealing with violent crime. Whether it's an ordinances that we're talking about or whether it's people waking up on Monday morning looking at violence that's occurred around the city. I think you know, we can all do a better job saying this is what we're doing to address address the violence that we see. I think continuing to improve the CAPS program and bring it back to life, I think, is critical. And I also think working with young people to really bridge the divide between them and police. And that can happen on a community-wide basis. We do things in our community all summer long, and those little gestures go a long way. So I think those would be some of the things that we would do.
Okay, thank you. This is from Gabe Gonzalez. Gabe, where are you? Right over there. Another potential City Club member. Okay. Okay, on the way out, we'll take care of you. His question is, it's really directed, I think, at President Graham, and others can chime in. Is there anything currently in the present police contract that shields police officers from the accountability that President Graham spoke of?
The contract that we have in place, and certainly we're going to be making improvements to it, is in place to give a fair process to police officers when they have either made a mistake, whether they've been accused of a mistake, and for all practical purposes, it's part of collective bargaining. You know, certainly I'm required to defend police officers under the contract. I mean, there is a lot there to make sure that we don't have police officers who are bad officers stay on the job. And I think that doesn't get out enough, but we certainly make sure that officers who have been accused of something have a fair hearing, and that's what this is about. The biggest problem in our contract is the length of time that it takes from the time somebody makes an accusation until the time that discipline is meted out, and if that's 4 years, That's a little too long for somebody to associate the thing that they did wrong with the punishment that they got. So we do need to shorten that. That's going to be addressed during collective bargaining issues. I have no doubt that the city of Chicago is going to want to make changes in the discipline, and we will address those at the contract negotiations table, which is where it belongs.
Okay, thank you. By the way, you've talked about negotiations. I think we have an attendee in this room who represents frequently the city on police negotiations, James Franczak. And we have an empty room upstairs. If you two would like to go up afterwards, you're more than welcome. We could arrange that, couldn't we, President Doherty? Absolutely. Okay, we have time for one or two more questions. This question was submitted by City Club member Thomas Donovan. Who does the community have confidence in? The police, the mayor, the city council, anybody. And I raise this because the alderman, I think, from maybe the 15th Ward, Alderman Carlos Rosa, where the ATF agent was shot.
That's
15. There were people quoted in the paper saying that the gangs control that total neighborhood. The police just hope they can get in and out as quickly as possible and deal with certain issues. How do you respond to this kind of question? Who does the community have confidence in?
Me?
Well,
what do you mean? Chairman?
I would like to attempt here. The community wants to have the complete confidence of the police officers, but we need to allow them to do their job. Putting in more layers and layers on what their job responsibility is, it's gonna slow it down, my friends. I believe that, you know, in that issue where there was a shooting or an ATF agent shot, you know, their job, ATF is to make sure that we help the community, the city of Chicago. That's why they're here. They're here to get the bad guys and stop the guns from coming in. After this incident, I did speak to the ATF agent, Salinas Nunez. He says, we will go back to the community and tell them our job is to protect you, the citizens of Chicago, and we intend to go there and send that message.
Thank you. Alderman Sawyer.
Quickly, I will say, as electeds, you know, we're always the brunt of criticism and sometimes jokes and derision because we are elected, and sometimes we have to make difficult decisions. And I think we have thick enough skin to take that and still be able to do our jobs effectively. What I do want people to have is the utmost confidence in the police to do their job. And I think it's extremely important. Out of those, the ones that you listed, if I was going to, at the expense of us, I would still rather them have the trust in the police over anybody else you mentioned, because police do deal with life or death situations oftentimes, and I understand that, and I empathize with that. Not to say that I'm coming off of my position, but I still think there's some space for community involvement and community participation. But I want people to trust and know that if you have a problem, the police will help you. You know, they're one of our first responders. When you call 911, you have to have the confidence to know that someone's going to come at the end of the day and help you out of the situation that you're in. So to answer the question that Tom had, I really want them to trust and support the police.
And Harry Osterman, Alderman
quick,
Osterman.
I want to kind of come back to what I started with, and that is that, you know, 2 years ago, April 16th, the Task Force on Police Accountability came out with a report with recommendations. And for 2 years, organizations from the GAPA group have worked throughout the city to come up with the ordinance that we're putting before the city council to create civilian oversight. It's critical that Chicagoans are watching what the city council does on this issue. This is not an issue that's going to go away. It's an issue that absolutely has to be dealt with, and it's an issue that can hopefully begin to build trust amongst all parties, the council, police, the mayor, and make our city safer. So I think it's going to be inherent on all 50 aldermen and the mayor to really come together in the months to come to ultimately come up with a proposal that we can get support on and it can begin to build trust.
Okay, let's give every one of our panelists a nice round of applause.
Thank you very much.